hostess is here.
Marion, she's just come in.
Oh, she has. Okay, great.
Perfect timing. This may be
turn this around for my benefit.
Hi, Marion.
I'm John Lang.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hello, Marion.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to get started. Welcome. There's going to be a number of logistical things to take care of, and we'll do that. But first, we'd like to do some introductions. And I want to introduce myself and say a word or two about myself, and then turn to the committee members and have them do the same thing. And after that, I'll give you a little bit of an idea of where we're going today and what we're going to be doing. Everybody has an agenda, from what I understand, and that'll guide the process. And so right now, we are in this introduction phase, so I want to introduce myself. My name's John Lang, and there's my nameplate down there. And I want to say a little bit about myself. I am a retired faculty member from SOU. For a long time, I have participated as a facilitator in processes such as these, processes that have to do with controversial issues, sometimes processes that, in which there are disputes or challenges, and have worked with dozens and dozens of groups trying to come together to reach agreements, agreement-seeking processes, in order to move a project or a community forward. I have worked with single organizations. I've worked with communities. I've worked in a lot of environmental collaborations, as they're called, sometimes mediations, usually over timber, sometimes over grazing and mining. So you can imagine I'm no stranger to controversy, and I have a fair amount of experience. I want to say about that that in order for me to do that kind of work, it's critical that I have no stake in any outcome, no partiality. The only thing that I'm on the side of is reaching good agreements about which this group can agree that they're behind. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that process that I've designed for us to get started as soon as we hear from each of you. So let's turn to Mr. Black.
I'm Michael Black. I'm the director of Ashland Parks and Recreation, and I want to say thank you to everybody who volunteered to serve on this ad hoc committee. I am really excited to get started here. I've been looking forward to today for weeks now. Looking forward to having some positive conversations and talking about change in a positive light, hopefully, and looking forward to the future of the Action Senior Program. Just a couple of logistical things really quick, and Rachel, if I miss anything, if you'll catch. We do have a microphone. If we get to a point where people can't hear, and I just want to emphasize, the reason why we're arranged like this is because this is a working group. We're speaking to each other, but we're doing it hopefully in a way where the audience can hear what we're saying. If there's a point where the audience can't hear a certain member consistently or somebody just wants to use the microphone, we have it set up and we have a microphone for you to use. And I think... bathroom is right out the door here. If anybody needs to use the restroom, it's right across the hall there. Please feel free to get up and down. I want to emphasize that we asked John Lang to run this process because we wanted to try our best to get the best possible process from this committee. We felt like having a third impartial party helping us out with that is the best way to go. So we're glad that he's here. Thank you, John, for agreeing to do this.
I'm honored.
My name is Jim Lewis. I am a Ashland Parks Commissioner, and I was also a Senior Center Subcommittee member. And I'd like to thank everybody for showing up once again, and I'm excited as well. So.
I'm Rob Casserly. I work at SOU. I'm the Program Manager for ALI at SOU, and I'm hoping I can lend something to this process and be of service.
I'm Catherine Danner. I'm the Executive Director of Ashland Home, and I come to this room three times a week for building loans, and my original direction in life was to be a Public Recreation and Parks Administration person, so I have a lot of background interest in that particular field. And okay, so do I have to start all over again?
Sure.
Is this even working?
Sure.
Test. Okay, again, I'm Catherine Danner, Executive Director of Ashland at Home, and I'll just mirror what Robert said. I'm just happy to be a part of this process.
I'm Marianne Moore. I'm a yoga teacher. I've been teaching at the Senior Center for, I think, about 12 years now, and from that experience at the Senior Center, I get some feeling of what's going on, at least in the morning. So I'm happy to be here.
I'm Jackie Bachman, and I have lived in Ashland for almost 3 years in February, so I'm a citizen member, and I regularly use the Senior Center. Yay! It's one of my favorite places where I do line dancing, I do yoga. It's just a great place to be, so I have a very positive feeling about being here, and I feel a moral responsibility that we all have to look after our own in this community. And so I really want to keep that as a guiding light for me, and I hope for everyone here.
Thank you.
You bet.
I could follow that. Thanks, Jackie. Mary Russell Miller, and I'm full-time faculty at SOU. And happy to be here.
Laura O'Brien, I'm the Director of Senior Disability Services, located at Rogue Valley Council of Governments.
Is there any trouble hearing?
Maybe you could pass the microphone.
We're going to pass it around.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Laura O'Brien. I'm the Director of Senior Disability Services at Rogue Valley Council of Governments, located in Central Point.
Hi, I'm Steph Sessinger. I'm currently on the City Council. Before that, I was on the Park and Recreation Commission as a chair for a number of years. I've been interested in senior issues for many years, including looking at ageism in Ashland and looking at accessibility, as well as recreation and expanding opportunities for seniors in our community.
Hi there. My name is Mike Gardner. I'm the current chair of the Ashland Park and Rec Commission, and I've been on the commission for 15 years and have lived in Ashland for 32 years. I'm probably as much responsible for us being here together as anyone, and I appreciate, once again, I'll echo Michael and Jim Lewis's comments that we appreciate everyone being a part of this.
My name is Peggy Burns, and I'm here because, actually that was one of the questions that they asked when on our application from why do you want to be here, and I'm here because I'm a member of the discussion group at the Senior Center. Can't hear? I'm here because I'm a member of the discussion group at the Senior Center, and we were very lucky to be invited there when, just after we arrived in Ashland 2 years ago. So that discussion group is my first family, and I see four or five members of them here in the audience. So it's nice to see them. I was going to say that the other question they asked was, what experience has prepared you for being on this commission, on this committee? And my first
Well, first of all, I use Ashland Senior Services. Ali, I love. I found out about it from the discussion group at the Y. That I can be, have done the senior circuit and the senior circuit club, and plus Tai Chi and Lithia Park. So I, even in 2 years, I've been. The other thing is that I was a librarian in the first 11 years of my life, and so I learned something about researching things and being impartial about ideas. And then after that, I started my own business, and I ran it for 30 years, so I know something about budgets and how to pay the bills, but also why you want to do it, having good reasons for doing what you do. Very important that also being willing to spend money when you want to grow.
I'm Rachel Giles, and I'm the Recreation Superintendent for Ashland Parks and Recreation. I've been with the department for about 13 years, and I'm happy to be here today and be involved in this process. And I do want to mention that we do have one committee member that's not here today, Ann Solagia, and she's a colleague, and she will be here at the next meeting. She's just out of town. And she will be receiving a copy of the recording from today's meeting to catch her up to speed.
Thank you. I'm going to turn this off for now because I can project pretty well. However, if anybody needs to have it put back on, please raise your hand. We'll get it going. All right. And I'm going to be speaking a little louder than I would normally to you all folks right here, because this is the part of our process where we establish some agreements that about how we'll move forward, sometimes called ground rules. And it's important to have some of these agreements so that our process goes more smoothly, so that we understand how we're going to move forward together. And I want to pass out to you some more or less standard ground rules for your consideration, and then see how you are with those, if you want to add any. And I have set aside 15 minutes for this process. This process can sometimes take 1 minute, and if it does, that'd be great. I'd be happy. It sometimes can take longer. So take a look at what I've worked up. You'll see the last item says anything else to be added. I'll pass these around now. So take a look. Okay, first question or comment from Mike.
I would just say that this looks like a fairly comprehensive list for us to be able to move forward with.
Okay. Someone said, could you hear that? Mike said it's a comprehensive list with which we could move forward, in his opinion. Oh, I should read it for you all, huh? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, because I don't have enough copies for everybody. In fact, my notes to myself say, read it for everyone out there.
Good.
I did not follow my own notes. So let me read it. The first one is, be respectful of others in all ways. And then there's four bullets under that. One person speaks at a time. No sidebar conversation while someone is speaking. Try to discuss issues, not people. And I wrote try because sometimes it involves a specific person. And then I said, work to assume the goodwill of others. So that that's under be respectful of others in all ways. Process issues is the second major heading with four bullets. Ask to be called upon by the facilitator before speaking by raising a hand. And we will create a parking lot list of issues for topics that we table for later. So if an issue comes up and we agree that it's probably not useful to take up now, we'll put it in the metaphorical parking lot to come back to later. I ask that you ask questions if something isn't clear, and that decisions will be made by a vote. And if people want copies of this, people who don't have them, I am certain that they can be provided. Okay? So we started off with a comment from Mike, who said that this is a pretty good list to get started. Other comments from you all?
Yeah, I have a question about the decisions made by vote.
Yes.
I mean, are we following Robert's rules here, or,
well,
or what do we mean by that?
Pretty much. Hopefully, decisions, most of the decisions will emerge, and there'll be agreement around the room, and there'll be consensus, and I'll check for that, and we'll do that. If not, then we'll have votes with motions, seconds, and all of that Robert's rules of order kind of thing. It's a good question. Thank you. Steph?
Yeah, since this is an advisory group, are we making decisions or are we making advisory?
I'm going to talk about that later, and if that moves you to come visit, revisit this one,
mm-hmm.
we can
John,
do that.
John, I don't think everyone heard the question.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
My question was, since this is an advisory group, are we making decisions or are we making recommendations?
And that's going to be addressed sort of at length in a little bit. And if you want to come back to this ground rule,
mm-hmm.
then we'll do that.
Okay.
But short answer, recommendations. Decisions will be made by the Parks Commission. Okay? Other comments? Questions? Jackie?
The minority, I know it's not on here, so maybe you want to parking lot it, but that minority recommendation was interesting for me, because I that's kind of new to me, that concept.
So, I see. Well, let's talk about that after we go through that part of the agenda.
Okay?
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
More questions? Comments? Stones to be thrown? No. Anything you wish to add? We're all good? These are our agreements and ground rules? Excellent. We are ahead of schedule.
John?
Yes?
Just one item. And it's probably nothing. Sorry.
No, of course.
If the parking lot could be on one of the flipboards, that
yes.
would be awesome.
Yeah. Let's plan. Good plan. Let's do it. Thank you. Okay. So, next, thank you.
We were an ad hoc meeting, and this was not, I know Rachel sent you information about why we weren't an ad hoc meeting anymore. What was it, and why is it now that the National Parks and Recreation Senior Program Advisory Committee? Is there a difference?
I'm going to direct
you know
that question. I'm going to direct that question to Michael.
So I apologize for any confusion. It still is an ad hoc committee. We can go ahead and write that on top of this agenda. That is a minor error in the agenda. It's still the ad hoc committee. And when any meetings are called heretofore, it will be the ad hoc senior program advisory committee.
And that might have been my mistake. I'm not even sure. I might have transposed that from ad hoc to Ashland. We were always talking about it as an ad hoc committee. I know that might have been my mistake.
And just to be clear, going forward is what I mean. It will be the ad hoc committee going forward. That won't change until the recommendations are made.
Good. More?
No.
Jackie?
Okay, so one more thing is...
No, take your time.
Okay. I understand that it started as a 3-month
ad hoc committee, and I know lately you've referred to it as 3 to 5 months ad hoc committee, which I think that's good coming into the holidays. What determines how many months we'll be meeting?
I want to answer that. So, well, I assume you all heard that question. What determines how long this process will go? And that is a hard question for which there is no hard, fast answer. Ideally, it would be we will be as efficient, but yet as thorough as possible. And if that takes 3 months, so be it. But with the holidays and some other work that may need to be done that's unanticipated at this time, we thought best to consider, well, it might take as long as 5 months. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. So, okay, so what I'd like to do is call your attention to the proposed bylaws that says, for the ad hoc, there it is, Peggy, for the ad hoc Senior Program Advisory Committee. And the purpose and charge are important here. This sheet of paper is on two sides. And I don't think it's useful for me to read to you, so let's take a few moments, ask that you all read both sides of that sheet. We'll take some questions. And then we'll move on to clarifying expectations. Most of you are done. Anybody want more time? So, yes.
I have a question.
question.
I'm wondering if you could clarify what people feel is the meaning of a senior center and a senior program. Because on the website, these two things are interchangeably sometimes. So that if you look at the website, it'll start with the senior center and then.
I was going to repeat it, but I think I'm going to ask you to repeat it.
I'm sorry. I'm wondering if we could clarify what is meant by the word senior center and senior program, because from my point of view, they're two different things, but they are often mixed up and used interchangeably on the website.
And this question is going to Michael.
All right. So one of my intents in doing this is to get clear on that one point, and that is that there are two points. One is that the senior center is a physical location, and that the senior program is everything that is done throughout the community under the authority of the senior program or for seniors. The senior center happens to be the center also of the senior program. It's the location where the senior program is operated out of. But the senior center building is physical, and it is limited by walls. The senior program is not and can function throughout the community. And that's the difference. So you'll see me start to refer to the senior center as 1699 Homes. And that's the location of the senior center. That's where the offices are. And I'm sure we'll talk about that, but that's where the offices are staying. So that's how I see the difference. Is that cleared up?
Yeah. You know, the senior center concept nationally is a very specific concept about what a great senior center.
Could you start over?
The senior center concept nationally is something that's about what a great senior center is. And it has very specific qualities that I hope we'll address in the course of this. And I agree the senior program is something can be anywhere in town. And we want to clarify also that this is the management and things of the senior center at the center. In other words, is it a center location for seniors and all their services is something that's of interest to me.
Do you want to respond? I don't know if you need this.
I'd like to respond to that right now, actually. And
we're doing a little bit of it's quite okay. Number six on the
It's one of the big questions I know everybody has, and that is the senior program, moving its location to the Grove, the building we're in now? And as of right now, the answer to that question is no. I am not, as the director, I am not moving the senior program management to the Grove. Now, I expect that during the conversation of this ad hoc committee that this topic should come up. And that if you agree with my direction, which is to leave it at the center at 1699 Homes, then you could just say we agree with that. If not, then you could make a different recommendation or modify the recommendation. But as of now, as the director, I am not moving the senior center management to the Grove.
Okay. And we're going to talk more about that particular issue and others.
Can I say one other thing?
Jackie, I'll get to it.
Nor do I plan to in the future.
So is your question about this or something else? Okay.
So my question is a clarification on ensure that throughout the transition.
So this is in the italicized print.
Yes.
About a third of the way down the page, a bullet point.
Yes. Ensure that throughout the transition, core services are preserved. And they're talking about the center being open and all, but it's core services. And one of the concerns that I want to make sure we talk about when we talk about transition is outreach to our senior citizens who, in order for the senior center services to be accessible to some of those people who are not able to get to the center or who staff has been aware of what their problems are, they reach out to them. And I'm very concerned about that outreach social service part of the program falling through the cracks in this 3 and possibly 5 months ahead of us.
Okay. Well, you can see Rachel just got up very quickly.
Thank you.
Your ears down. That's going to be also, I'm going to ask that you remember it and repeat it when we get to number six. Number seven in the agenda.
Okay.
Because we're going to identify temporarily, and I say temporarily because we may add on as we go, but we're going to start by identifying what are the issues. That's one.
And the second one in that same area of transition is knowledgeable staff people at the center who are knowledgeable about the services and agencies and referrals that need to happen and how do we get that person if we're looking at possibly 5 months into the future? How do we get that magical person there?
Okay, and I hope you'll remember
all
of those criteria. Rachel can remember knowledgeable staff.
Great.
Probably.
Thank
and
you.
Then we'll get to
thank you.
Yep. More questions about the purpose and charge, the appointments and makeup of the group, page two, or the election of officers and scheduling. And while I had a comment or two that I offered toward this page, we want to thank the people who worked on this. This includes Michael, Rachel, and some others. So if there's no more questions, right? Comment. Then I'd like to just talk to you for a moment or two toward clarifying expectations about going forward and talking about some goals, some possibilities, and some constraints. And I'm going to move through this list and ask that you hold your questions until I get done going through all, because sometimes questions are answered a little later. So, the first one is your report. Someone asked, Kat, is this about decision making? The final product, if you will, of this group will be a report that has recommendations in it to be submitted to the Ashland Parks and Recreation Commission. We hope it's not too long, but sufficiently thorough and targeted so that they know what this committee is recommending. You could have many and even competing recommendations if that emerges. And what I mean by this, and this sort of speaks to the minority report, is that there may be a substantial number of you, or even one of you, who believes passionately about a particular issue, but differently than your fellow committee members. That difference can be incorporated into the report so that the commissioners know that it wasn't unanimous. And you'll have an opportunity to do more than just vote against it. You'll have an opportunity to include a minority report, okay? So that's about the report. Now I want to talk about, and this is critical, what's on and off the table for those recommendations. Almost everything is on the table. It's extraordinary to me, the openness that the commissioners are taking to this process, to this committee's recommendation. The exceptions include personnel recommendations, specific people. So something like knowledgeable staff is on the table, but specific personnel recommendations or elaborated job descriptions, which has to be in the purview of the Parks and Rec, that's off the table. So personnel, that's the first thing. The only other thing that's off the table is no change. No change. There's going to be some changes. Leaving everything exactly the way it was is not going to happen. And so, when I was first talking with Michael about this, I said, you mean other than those two things, this committee can recommend anything? Yes. So that's pretty darn good. It might lengthen our time together, but it's pretty darn good. As a committee, you'll have a lot that you can recommend. Will you remember your question? I want to get through this, okay? Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks. Now, so it says next, the decisions on recommendation will be made by a committee vote, by you voting. Minority recommendations I've already described, but the final decision must be made by the Ashland Parks and Recreation Commissioners. Okay? Going on to number D, letter D. Some of you have eaten at the Chinese restaurant that calls their letters numbers. Number D. So requests of the Ashland Parks and Rec Commission. They are going to be here as staff to you. So if you have questions and want them to investigate something, they'll consider it, and if it's reasonable, likely pursue it on the committee's behalf. The limitation to that is one person saying, Rachel, would you spend 30 hours researching this idea? And another person saying, commissioners, would you spend some money and time and hours, and et cetera, investigating this idea? It needs to come from the whole committee, the request. And if it's too difficult to accomplish, I'm sure the commissioners will say that it needs to come from the committee, not just a single person who has an interest. Okay? Moving forward, we plan at this time to meet every other week for approximately 2 hours, with the exception of the rest of this month. For certain logistical reasons, it won't be possible to meet again until November. So we're going to talk about that at the end of today, about when the next meeting ought to be. Okay? Currently, there is a tentative plan, to have two formal public input sessions, kind of like listening sessions. So after a number of meetings, and we don't know quite how many yet, you'll get to decide. The first listening session will take place. People other than yourselves will probably be wanting to get input into you all. And so you'll hold a listening session for people. So one of our meetings will be dedicated to hearing from others who aren't on the committee, but who are interested stakeholders. And then, as we get close to the end, and we're getting sort of close to a draft of the recommendations and report, present that draft to the community, and if they want to comment in a listening session, you'll take their feedback and input, consider it, incorporate what you decide to incorporate, and That'll be the two formal opportunities for listening, for getting input from the community. Now, there's a couple more things I want to say about this. One is, I'm going to encourage all of you to be listening to stakeholders in between meetings. So they'll get input to you as members. I think particularly the citizen members, but there'll be others of you. So you'll be listening, and you'll maybe contact the chair, who we will elect soon, and say, well, here's some input. Maybe we ought to get this on the agenda or something like that. So that's an informal way that input will come in. The second consideration for you, and I'm going to put it in the parking lot, is if you want to have something additional. This is your committee. It's not the Parks and Rec committee. It's not my committee. So we're going to ask you to decide at some point soon if there's anything additional that you'd like to do regarding public input and feedback. Okay? Okay. So that's what I wanted to say to you with regard to clarifying expectations. And now, if you have questions, perhaps we can talk about that. Peggy, do you still have one?
You said that no change is not going to be an option and not going to happen. Change from what? Where are we?
That's a great question, and I'm going to let Michael answer that. Okay. Any tough questions, go to no.
So, basically, we aren't going to go backwards and go to a recommendation that we just go back to the way it was 4 months ago isn't necessarily a good use of time of this committee. The ad hoc committee is here as the duties and charge state to help to enhance the program. So just from where it is right now, which is where it has been, we want to enhance. So generally when we look at plans, we look at a number of different options. One of them is always no change. Well, the change has already happened, and we are looking at enhancing. There's got to be ways to enhance this program, and that's what we're looking for, is the enhancement. So change from, that's what change means, basically, is moving in a positive direction.
So one of the ways I think it might be good to think about it is how to create a vision for the senior center we want in Ashland. And what an amazing place it is, Ashland. And so we could do so much. And so when you do vision work, it is a very positive force going forward rather than no change. Vision.
What you aspire to.
You bet.
Okay.
And I would just add to that, that word vision is in the purpose of the charge.
Yes.
And that is that this group here is here to lead the visioning of the senior program.
Yes.
So, thank you very much.
Mary.
I'd like to say something about the input, public input, the first one, listening. Personally, I would like that to be informed listening instead of just listening, because I think what I've seen so far is a lot of emotional reactions to issues that people may not fully understand. So is there some function that could happen there that, you know, I mean, I understand the feedback part of it, having some sort of a document or something and having it out there, having people offer public input on that, but some guidelines around listening. I mean, because there's going to be emotional, I mean, at least that's what I'm seeing right now. I'm trying to stay out of it as much as I possibly can, but, I mean, I'm seeing some of that out there right now. So how can we move forward with an input process on that first level that is informed to some extent?
So let me see if I want to check my perception about what you're saying.
Okay.
You called it informed listening.
Right. And informed input.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're asking.
So we're listening, but
yes.
It's input that has some level of
well,
information.
Well, we, as a committee, can work on constructing the agreement and
yes.
guidance
yes.
for
that's what I was
the input
yes.
that we take. And that's
yes.
about as much attempted control.
Right. It much. It would be a less formal process than the second half of the input, which would be feedback from
you mean feedback
some,
from the committee
from some document that they have to look at.
Okay.
That's what you said.
And we will, as a group, structure
good.
The listening sessions
good.
Together.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I don't really understand exactly what... are you talking about the two public input sessions?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That you want informed input from the public?
Mm-hmm.
To the extent that...
I mean, yeah, I mean...
That's possible, I think.
Informed in the sense that they don't have a document to look at initially, but there's more information available to them and an understanding so that they can then provide their input in a more productive way and useful.
And what kind of document are you referring to?
I'm not. That would be in the feedback, the second part.
Well, so...
Possibly, John mentioned that.
You're going to just get to decide. No, you don't need to apologize.
No.
We'll have some more time to work this out later. I guess that's a parking lot issue. Which is, how will we construct the agenda and the guidelines for the process of the listening sessions? You all get to do it. And Mary, please correct me if I'm wrong, is hoping that we can help make that input that's coming in as informed as possible, perhaps by giving people documents or other ways that you all create. Does that answer the question? Another question?
It's not a question, but I just thought I wanted to be sure that we didn't wait too long for this, if there are in fact only two, which I hope is maybe open. So we don't wait too long for the second one to push it up to the final decision so the public doesn't really have a chance to respond and digest to say our draft recommendation. It would be very important to have them have plenty of time to.
And Peggy, if
yeah.
your group, if all of you, if you decide to have three listening sessions or construct the public input in some different way, that's what you'll do. But soon, maybe the next meeting, that's something we'll turn our attention to. Okay?
I don't necessarily want to qualify everything I say every time I say something, but there's one thing that I need to make sure everybody understands, and when we say no change, that no change is off the table. We're not going to go back to the way it was 4 months ago. I'm talking about a couple of specifics. As far as core services, I want to call your attention to the first sub-bullet point in the list. The main bullet point is for a period of 3 to 5 months, focus on the redesign. The first sub-bullet point is ensure that throughout the transition, core services are preserved and the center is open and accessible for seniors, for scheduled appointments and classes, and for drop-in visits. And this is just what I want to get out there right now. The senior center is not closing. We aren't planning on cutting the services that are there now. In fact, we are working hard with all the challenges that we have to ensure that core services are preserved. So when I say no change or we're not going back to the way it was, that doesn't mean that the functions that were being performed wouldn't continue in the future, but we will be enhancing from that core going into the future. And then when we get to the parking lot, I have an idea for your comment on outreach.
Great.
And how to ensure that through this process, core services are met. So I'll wait until then to give that suggestion, but this is just to tie up the what's on and off the table.
Okay. Mike?
I have one question regarding public input. Normally, we don't control what the public says, you know, so I agree with the concept that we try to give them as much information so that it'll be valuable input that we get from the public, but once again, the public can say whatever they want.
I understand.
All right. More?
That makes it a party.
All right. So, you read, I think you read the last part of the paper that had the purpose and charge about officers. And the chair and vice chair we're going to elect now through Robert's Rules of Order. Here's what you're signing up for if you're running for / willing to be chair. That you convene and adjourn meetings and represent the committee to the commission. And that representation is likely to be to participate in the delivery of the report. You'll have a facilitator, me, for the meetings. You've got to be chair, a member of this committee. And the vice chair, you act as chair pro tem if the chair is absent. So it's some logistical work. It requires a little bit of organization and organizing. I would tag team with you. You would also sometimes work with Rachel about setting up rooms and that kind of thing. It's not too challenging. It will take a little bit of time every 2 weeks. Not too much more than that. Questions about the duties of chair and vice chair? Add something?
I just want to add something. So the agenda and scheduling is also a very big part of the being the chairperson and helping to design an agenda that will be representative of where the committee wants to go and get the information out that the committee wants. And that's something that we do want to have the chairperson involved in. So it's one of the duties as well. And I think it's one of the more important duties also in ensuring that the information comes to the committee timely and by the right people and all that.
And I would work with the chair on the agenda. So bringing whatever experience I have in facilitation and can co-construct the agenda with the chairperson. So I'm now asking for nominations, including self-nominations. Did you have something?
I think we decided that we were not going to, we were going to make sure that none of the elected officials were nominated as.
We think that it would be appropriate, if I could make a recommendation, which I don't necessarily think is part of the process, but I think it would be nice to see someone chair the group that isn't one of the elected officials, and potentially even someone from the citizen group.
So that would take out Michael, Jim, Mike, Steph, and Rachel. Yeah, that's a preference. It's not...
I'd like to nominate this beautiful woman sitting next to me.
Which
my
beautiful
right.
Woman?
Well, I have two, I know. I know Laura has got a full-time job as well. As well as Jackie, she does lots of stuff. I would like to nominate Jackie.
Okay.
Second.
No, second.
Wait, a quick second. Okay, so that's one nomination. I'm looking looking for other nominations, self or otherwise.
She hasn't declined. This is a good sign.
Are you willing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So by acclamation, can we say that Jackie Bachman will be the chair?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I
Thanks,
will look
Jack.
Forward to coordinating with you on occasion.
Great.
Good. Thanks. And all of you will on occasion work with, coordinate this or that with Jackie, as will some of your stakeholders and constituents. So now we need someone to volunteer to be vice chair, or someone to nominate someone for vice chair. Jackie?
I'd love to nominate Marion Moore for the vice chair.
Second.
Wow. Any discussion? You are willing.
I'm willing.
Can we say by acclamation, unless there's anybody else who wants to run against Marion?
No.
And can we say also by acclamation that we have our vice chair? So on behalf of everybody here and all of your constituents, stakeholders, thank you very much. So that went well, it might not have. Good, thank you. All right.
Assume the best, remember that.
Exactly. Thank you. You can help facilitate this chair. Okay. So in constructing the agenda as we move on, it was thought that, well, it was stated that there was a fair amount of information going back and forth in the community. There's a lot of letters to the editor show up, opinion pieces, conversations, and that a lot of things are either very clear, but there's a lot of things that are either understood poorly or misunderstood completely. And so we thought we'd take about 20 minutes. We could go on forever, and I don't want to do that. We're not behind. We're about right on time. Take a little bit of time. First, for Michael, if you have some statements to make as background, and then to open it up for questions and answers, things that you wonder about, that you've heard, that you're not sure about, that you would like someone, perhaps from the commission, to address, or the commission to investigate for you. So that's what we're going to do for up to 20 minutes. If it doesn't take that long, that's fine, but in 20 minutes, we want to end it. Okay? All right. So, to start, some background.
Well, I think everybody probably has a pretty good understanding of the background from their perspective. And that's what I'd like to just say. Rather than me go through the entire background, I would just ask, if anybody hears information that they question or just want to know what's behind it, if it sounds like it's not good, if it sounds like it's not in the best interest of seniors, if it sounds like anything along those lines, please take the time to ask me. You can call me and you can ask me. I get questions weekly. Question this week was, I heard Food and Friends we're not renewing the contract with Food and Friends. Not true. And how that got out, I'm not sure. But I immediately made sure that there wasn't an issue with Food and Friends. And once I understood that information wasn't coming from there, I could say, that's not true. I just signed the contract a few weeks ago, and Laura could attest to that. So there is information out there that somehow is not completely correct. There's a lot of change going on. Well, there's change that has happened, and there's lots of questions, and there's lots of opportunity to get information wrong, and I'm not blaming anybody for having bad information, but I would ask that, especially on this committee and anybody else, to make that you not going to try right now and think of all the things that I've heard that are incorrect. I don't think I could remember them all. But I would ask, if you do have questions now, please ask me. I'll give you the best answer that I can possibly give you.
So are we about to start the question asking? All right, so Jackie and then Catherine.
So one of the questions that has come to me, you know, I have the question, but also other people have asked me, is there an interim director or interim manager, interim head person for the center that will be there to make sure that we can continue at a level that won't allow seniors to fall into the cracks? And I'm talking about the ones that, you know, might have disabilities, are low income. Things are happening out there. We're coming into the cold months. Heaters are going out. People can't pay, you know, their medical bills, and so they're not eating. They're forgetting to eat. And who is doing then the outreach, because I know there were staff people who regularly did those things. And so I think it's extremely important that we have those people. And so my question is there a search going on for an interim person right now and for an outreach person to work under that person? And will there be training and some process for that interim director? I'm not talking about in 5 months. I mean, I'm concerned right now. And that's what I'm hearing from people right now in the community.
Great.
So, good question. And it's our goal to have somebody in there who can function in an interim capacity. Unfortunately, just this week, or actually late last week, the person who is most familiar with senior programs and outreach and was our person at the center who had that background, the best person who had that background, quit. She wasn't having a very good time at the center, and she was unhappy, and she's at an age, a point in her life where she just said it wasn't worth it. We do have somebody there who is there every single day who has a history with, some history at least, with the senior program. I'm not going to get into the specifics of a lot of different things, but...
Who, Michael, can you say who it is?
It's Natalie.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Natalie is there right now.
Okay.
She's keeping the doors open. She's
right.
Making sure that everything is open, that people are able to drop in, Food and Friends is handled and everything like that, getting the phone out of the office, those logistical things that have to happen every single day. Lori Ainsworth, who's here today, who has another position with Ashland Parks and Recreation, is kind of what I would term the supervisor of things going on at the senior program, and she runs our volunteer program, so she has a lot of influence in the community, and a lot of the people who volunteer at the senior program, she is either referred down there, have gone through her, most, hopefully all of them have gone through her eventually, but she has the ability to reach into the community and find people that fit certain roles. For the time being, we are right now looking for somebody who can fill that role that Lori left just a few weeks ago, or last week, unfortunately. And we will get somebody down there. And if
how are you looking for somebody?
So we're doing, all I can say is we're doing the best we can through the avenues that we have, through the outreach that Lori has, people who she knows, who Rachel knows, who her peers. We're asking around if anybody knows of anybody who might be interested in helping us out during this time. We'd be happy to talk to you about that. And so the goal is to have somebody there knowledgeable full-time, or during, the center is full-time, first of all. It's, what is it, 9:30 to 3:30? 8:30 to 3:30. So it's not a full-time job. But somebody's there from 8:30 to 3:30 every day. That's our goal. And we've been filling where we can. So to answer your question, the goal is, yes, to have somebody like that. It is not because that role is largely going to be defined by the report that comes out of this ad hoc committee. So I couldn't possibly find the right person for the future right now, but we are looking for someone to fill that extends that role. And last thing, I'll just say the hours are being covered. We are finding ways to cover them. Records are pretty good. We're able to get the people in the right direction. Outreach will continue as far as the programs that are administered during the winter. The heat program, I believe, all of those types of things will continue.
The utility program?
Yes, and that is being handled through the city. We've asked them to reach out to the people who are doing that to confirm that they will continue to do that. We're hoping that the same people will continue to do it.
It was Marion next, and then Catherine. Did I get that right, or was it Catherine and then Mary?
Okay.
I just asked for a brief history of the senior center program building. And it's my understanding that it wasn't always under the purview of Parks and Rec.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And just as you see it, or as you know it, what the initial intent was, and before the Parks and Rec got involved and so forth.
Absolutely, I love it. So, I'll try to make this brief. There is an answer to this one. So, basically about 10 years ago, it's about 2006, 2007, the city administrator at the time approached the then Parks and Recreation director, stating that the city was having a hard time, due to a number of reasons, meeting budget in a number of different areas. And they felt, after talking, that the senior program could easily fit under the umbrella of Ashland Parks and Recreation. And at that time, in 2007, a resolution was adopted that sent the senior program with the senior center staff that was already there and everything over to the Ashland Parks and Recreation Commission. What didn't come with it is any funding. So the funding was not there. We've been covering the funding out of Ashland Parks and Recreation Fund, which is the money that we receive out of the general fund to perform the functions of Ashland Parks and Recreation, providing parks and recreation to the citizens. So over the last 10 years, it's been functioning similarly to how it was when it was with the city. It has been an Ashland Parks and Recreation function. We have been running it for the last 10 years, so everything that's been happening there over the last 10 years has been happening under our administration, under the administration of Ashland Parks and Recreation. And if there was a second part, I've already forgotten. Is there something?
Well, I guess I would even just ask briefly, before 2006, it was directly under the city council, or?
So she asked before 2006 how it was organized. So before then, there was an Ashland senior program director. Is that right, Rachel? There was an Ashland Senior Program Director, Sharon Law, I believe,
right,
at the time. Mm-hmm. And it basically functioned as its own department. This is what I've gathered. It kind of fits somewhere in between finance and other administrative services. So it was in that administrative services group. But the person who ran it was considered the director of the organization. And she reported directly to the city administrator, who then reported to the city council.
Mm-hmm. It's unique in that regard. I mean, there was nothing else like it.
No.
In the city council.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'm asking really not for myself, but just to completely clarify the situation.
Could you get it closer?
Yeah. Just to clarify for everyone, and I wish there were even more people here to hear this, what really is the intent of Michael and the Ashland Parks and Rec Commission. There were some unfortunate things said, I think, early on in this process that have been documented on the internet and that people are going to now and listening to now and thinking that is what's happening right now. So a couple of things that I can think of right off the top of my head. I know the answers. I'd like to have Michael, Jim, or Mike, perhaps all three of you, respond to this. One thing is, if there is not sufficient cost recovery from the senior center. There is not sufficient funding that the senior center would be closed. That's number one.
Okay, let's do it one at a time.
Okay.
Let's not have all three unless one of you wants to elaborate on the first person who speaks. If that's okay with you?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so would you repeat that first question, or Michael wants to respond?
Okay. What I've heard, what I've seen on the internet is the statement that if there was insufficient funding and insufficient cost recovery for the senior program, the senior center might be closed.
So I'd like to just first ask everybody to take a look at the editorial tomorrow in the Ashland Daily Tidings. I've done a guest editorial, and this is actually discussed in there, but I won't make you wait until tomorrow. So it's true. At some point in time when I was looking at this, I was looking at the senior program like I do a lot of my programs, and I look at it at a lot of different levels. One of the levels I was looking at was revenue, and the fact that the Ashland Senior Program hasn't generated any revenue since we've had it, basically, and that there are other programs throughout the state that generate revenue, and it's been used against me, I know, but I compared ourselves to some other communities, not to say that we should be making what they're making, or that that we're the same size of them, or we should be providing the scope and breadth of the services exactly how they're providing, but to state that it is not uncommon for senior programs to earn some revenue. And all of our other programs in recreation do earn revenue. So that's my director side of me that who's looking at the budget going, we got to make sure everything is handled. I do not want to go to the budget committee and ask forgiveness for anything. I want to go in there and I want to present a budget that is balanced, and that was what we were looking at here. I was told, and this is in the opinion tomorrow, I was told by the commissioners to knock it off, basically, to just knock it off. That it's, yeah, revenue is important, and at some point we'd like to look at seeing if there's a chance for any revenue through the senior program. But if you look at the list of items, the last one for a reason, and it also states throughout the process, explore options to increase revenue to offset a portion of the cost. It gives no mandate of how much. It says, look, if there are some, let's see if we can explore them. And I think it's been brought up that, you know, adding new programs costs money. Not everything is about adding new programs. And I'll just give you a little glimpse into some of the things I was thinking of when I was talking about revenue. The Ashland Parks and Recreation Commission, through the Senior Center, provides services for the entire community. We provide services that are public works and utility-funded services. And they provide, except for one program, no coverage of the costs associated with those programs for us to maintain those. So from my perspective, that's one area where revenue can be gained for something that's being performed, and we all know we want it to continue to be performed. But that's one of the areas that I think that me as a director and Rachel as a superintendent should be going to the city and our plan to say, we need to start paying for the services. You know, we don't want to stop doing them. We think that we're in the best position to do them at this point. We need to get some revenue from them. So it's not all about charging the seniors for things that are happening at the senior center or in the senior program. It's about getting that money that we should have been receiving for some time. Remember, for 10 years now, we've been operating the senior program off of the budget that we've had for parks and recreation. The city has not transferred money to us to help offset the cost of the senior program.
So thanks for that clarification. You have some other questions, I believe.
Well, I know the answers to all these questions. I'm really just wanting to get this on the record as clearly as possible. And I think this my second question has actually already been answered here, but again, I've seen it on the internet. and I'd like to make sure that it is very clearly stated. And the issue that comes up on the internet is they're going to move the senior center to the Grove. You've already said you are not going to move the management offices to the Grove, and you're not going to do it in the future either. So that's part of it. The other part is classes, not going to move any classes to the Grove. And you've said or written here, I think, that you are not planning to do that. I'd just like a nice, clear statement about that. That's all.
Can be any commissioner.
Can be anybody.
I'm happy. Or give it Mike's happy. No, no, go ahead.
No, he's asking you.
I'm on a roll here.
Yeah,
so,
and be concise, please.
I will try to be concise. The answer to the question is no, we are not moving the management to the Grove. Mm-hmm. The second answer is no, we are not moving any established classes that take place at the senior center to the Grove. The senior program, we're going to talk about that though.
Yeah.
And that's going to expand. Those are new things that will happen, hopefully all over the place, and at the senior center. But it is my intent right now, I hope everybody understands, I am not moving the senior center management offices or the core functions of the senior center to the Grove.
Good to have on the record.
Yeah.
Do you have more, Marion?
No.
Thank you. Other questions? Yes.
I have a related question. During this interim period, do you expect to add programs to the Grove that are, well, I'm thinking of one that just popped up, you know, after, say, August 8th and 9th, and that is a fall, a class about fall that's going to be at the Grove rather than at the senior center. And I'm trying to know, I would like to know, one, will more of that happen while we are trying to make decisions? And number two, what is the rationale for putting that particular program at the Grove rather than the senior center? Because if you ask vulnerable seniors to go to two locations, like for food and then for a fall program, they're at greater risk of falling.
Sure.
So
the reason the fall class was booked at the Grove is because the instructor of the fall class could only do it on that date, and there's an AARP driving class on the same day at the senior center, and that's why the fall class is at the Grove.
That was like an aha
for
you.
Well, yeah, but then why not wait and do it at another time?
It's not impossible. It's just
or perhaps give another one.
I guess the opportunity was available to do the class with the instructor, and the group was available.
Can I respond to that really quick? Because that's kind of something that could be discussed as a group, and that is, you brought up something about transportation, and what time is the fall class?
1:00.
Okay. So you bring up a really good point, and I think through this process, it could be one of the recommendations in the report to say, consider these types of things as you schedule. This one is scheduled; it's the only time that they could do it. So we're going to go ahead and do it. But these are the types of things that our ad hoc committee is here to comment on, and as we move forward, hopefully we can improve the process of scheduling and locations and things like that. But right now, I want to thank Lori and Rachel for going out and looking for these things to expand. We'll keep that in mind as we're doing further expansion. And these are one-time things, by the way. These aren't classes that can be.
So we're at the end of our time set aside for clarification. So let's take one last question. Unless there's any other burning ones, this will be it.
In terms of classes and different options and programs, I'm hoping that we'll be talking about a marketing plan for the senior center for senior programs, because there are some wonderful ideas in the toolkit that Michael Black was willing to invest
$145 into the membership for the National Institute of Senior Centers. And Peggy, I heard you talking about across the nation, there are many examples of thriving senior centers with and programs. And a marketing plan is something that you can look at every month. You can look at, you know, as what is the season, what's the weather, you know, what are we coming into, who's responsible, how much does it cost, you know, how, the volunteer coordinator, who do they need to get together to do these different things. And then the vision part, you continue with that advisory group who are going to go, okay, let's do that, you know, all about falls, and let's, you know, do these other things about continuing discussion groups and bridge, and but how do you expand. And so anyway, I just want to put that. And then for a business just within our group, will we all have each other's emails and the possibility, is it okay, for instance, for me to mail the toolkit, which is 216 pages that Susan Disregard was able to get for me and send to me. Thank you, Susan. It's got wonderful information, I think, for all of us who are looking for that vision idea. Is it okay?
Let me handle that. Is there anybody on the committee who would object to receiving an email with that attachment? So I'm going to take silence as assent. May I do that? Just want to see some nods. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm certainly for that, but, you know, I certainly don't want to get
every email.
Facebook page.
Yes. So,
no.
So that issue, what I'm going to do in, now, I think, is move from the questions and clarification to identifying the issues that we should take up. So one is a marketing plan for the toolkit. Another that we ought to talk about next time is communication among and between the group. So I'm going to ask, yeah, do you want to do that? So there's marketing plan is one. We're moving into the next, no, not necessarily, communication within the committee. Thank you. So yeah, I tried to subtly transition you to the next item because the idea of a marketing plan is an example of what some of the issues are that you all want to consider at this time. At this time are issues that you would identify that you should, as a committee, consider. That list will evolve some as we continue to meet. But in other words, let's start to create the agenda on which you will work. And I want full participation now from commissioners, as well as the director, as well as the citizen members and council. So let's just brainstorm a list. And when I say brainstorm, I'm going to ask that you just be concise. So for example, Jackie was asking a question, and so she was describing the marketing plan, maybe she envisions it, etc. But for this section, let's just say marketing plan. And don't elaborate, there'll be plenty of times for that later. Okay? And I'll try and gently cut you off if you're going on a little bit longer than will be useful. Because anything that gets up there, the committee will get a chance to consider, if you wish. So here we are. As Michael said, finally, there's a lot of attention here. And you're going to create recommendations to the commission about the senior program. In order to do that most effectively, what issues should you all be considering?
Demographics.
Okay, now, I'm going to ask for a little bit of elaboration. Do you mean, for example, by age, by geography, those kinds of things?
Economics.
Economics. So I think it might be good to elaborate
yep.
a little
age,
bit.
Age, economic status.
So age,
I think it's far more varied than what we assume.
Okay. Other demographic characteristics? Is geography one? I was just guessing.
I think within the city limits.
Zip code.
Zip code?
Well, that would delve it down to 9720.
Oh, okay. Zip code?
It's not that tidier to use the zip code, just because that's the way the American Community Survey
reads. Okay, great. Thank you, Rob. Thanks. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, Rob.
Key stakeholder, key agency partners.
Key agency partners. Okay, and you don't have to write this, but just for everyone else's benefit, what's an example or two of some?
Well, I've heard Food and Friends, there's a foot care clinic, heating assistance.
So would you just, I'm guessing not everyone could hear you.
Sure, key agency partners like Food and Friends, who's providing the foot care clinic, the heating assistance, just want more information about that.
So, and those are examples only, not a full list. Okay, thank you. Michael?
You mentioned all existing stakeholders, and that's what you're looking for right now.
Correct.
Okay. Or partners.
What else? Jackie?
Identifying who are our stakeholders and identifying also who is underrepresented. Are we talking about the 55 to 65 active retiree? Are we talking about the 80-plus super senior, that kind of thing?
So identifying stakeholders and especially those who are underrepresented.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's under demographics. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you, Rachel. All right.
So as reflected in our purpose and charge, and I'm listening to the dialogue previously, and I look at the agenda which says what are the issues, all of these things are appropriate for us to be looking at as a team, but I think when you're talking about identification, we need to also identify the social services that are available in Ashland.
Other social services.
Right, mm-hmm. right, and identify the potential of provision of sufficient access to the social service.
That was well stated. I don't know if Rachel can keep up that. You might ask you to repeat it.
I tried.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so there are two things I was trying to identify to point out in regards to identification. And that is what social services are available in Ashland and regionally that might support Ashland population. And identify the provision of sufficient access, I mean, to those social services. And that falls within, again, when I reflect on the purpose and charge, it puts that on the table for us to be looking at.
And I want to say to all of you, as well as the folks in the back row, that these notes will also go along with the notes that are being taken. Susan, am I pronouncing your name right? So if this is going to not be the only source for the issues. Catherine.
I would say opportunities for intergenerational programs and also possibilities for multiple locations throughout the community where programs and services might be offered.
So intergenerational opportunities and multiple location possibilities. Or
I guess I feel like that's racing ahead of me, and I just kind of question, do we have some agreement on what we think is the function of the senior program and the overall function? I remember the first goal last year's subcommittee was gain a greater understanding of the senior program and the function it serves. Do we have some agreement among ourselves? Is that a place that we have to start from?
So I'm going to paraphrase that the best I can, and that is check to see if there's committee agreement on the major function of the senior group.
And the senior center.
And senior center.
Separate.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay. Got that? Version of that? Thank you. More.
I think the issue of transportation for seniors.
Looking at space and flexible space, and actually looking at buildings and what activities make sense and functioning in what spaces, and looking at existing buildings.
Okay, so space, flexibility, existing, and or new.
Yes.
Okay, so got all that? Oh, okay. Existing facilities, flexibility, and so here and for new. Michael has volunteered to also tag team with you. Okay. More. Rob.
I think it might be helpful to see a budget of what the senior center, because I have no idea whether we're talking currently a $200,000 a year budget or half a million or what where we are now.
Good, thank you. Budget.
And tagging onto that participation information.
Well, maybe a little bit of elaboration.
What numbers of people are participating
okay.
in what?
Great, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Jackie.
Looking for, in the cost recovery column, considering partnerships with groups like Ollie for using existing space as a rental for classrooms in times that the senior center doesn't have a lot of people in it. So, you know, maybe, well, you guys, looking when that could happen.
Okay, and Michael, I heard a couple things in there. I heard, as you wrote, partnerships and opportunities. I also heard cost recovery, mm-hmm. which is a broader topic.
Mm-hmm.
So are they two separate topics to go?
They can be.
Okay. I mean, yeah, they overlap.
They kind of go together.
They overlap, right. Okay, good. Mike?
So I think this committee should have a serious discussion of how much buy-in they want to have to the idea of cost recovery as a program, you know, like what it would look like. I think as staff and commission, we do that for every program and facility that we handle. And I would like to have a broader discussion from this group as to, you know, what that looks like. You know, what cost recovery would look like to you folks and how we could possibly address it.
And it's you folks too. Yeah.
I suppose after mentioning transportation, one of the questions is what is the limit of this ad hoc group? Are we looking at issues that are predominantly looking at the senior center? Are we looking at also issues like affordable housing or transportation or social services or what services existing departments, such as the fire department, which has done slip and fall education, how expansive is this going to be?
Yeah, maybe that's going to be one of the early questions. More.
So I love that you brought up, for instance, fire, you know, the slip and fall and fire department and police, and that to me again is partnership. And then with the city, I mean, we've already talked about a lot of different partnerships, and I think it's going to be so much about that. I really think we need to explore all kinds of partnerships. So it's not just about money, it's about information and people with expertise and who are willing to come in and then get that in that marketing plan and the monthly, you know, knowing what to do and organizing it.
Thank you. More. Thank you.
Maybe you already did this, but the National Council on Aging said that most centers rely on 3 to 8 different
funding sources, and I'm just thinking that maybe we haven't explored all the funding sources, foundation grants, and they mentioned quite a number of other things on the fact sheet.
Thank you.
Yay.
I think you're both writing funding sources. That's okay. Deserves to be written away. The other's not so great. No.
We both started the same.
Catherine.
I'm somewhat aware, not very much, but of wellness groups in the under the chamber, I think, that's been looking. First, it was the Catawba's Healthy Communities Program, and then it became the Blue Zone concept. And I don't know what they're working on now, but I'm wondering whether we shouldn't know what within our own local community, what projects and programs that the whole multi-age concept, and we would be focusing on the senior part of it, but to tie into some of these wonderful programs that are going on. And I know the Y also has a national program that they're not implementing yet, but they're aware of, and that we could tie into. And then, of course, there's the AARP, age-friendly communities. It's all information and work that we could tie into.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
John. I'm on the Chamber Wellness Committee, so at this point, we're just kind of at the beginning of that, and it's like a healthy city concept and some of the same information that would be in age-friendly communities. As a matter of fact, we're meeting next week, and we're still at the process of forming our steering committee, but that will be.
You are the right person for here. Thank you. Steph, more. This is good. It's not limited to what we say today. It's a good start.
So I'm the newest commissioner on the Housing and Human Services Commission. So I'd be happy to be exploring one of my goals. Certainly, along with Steffi inspired me. Thank you, Steffi. Is an age-friendly Ashland. And so if we're all working together, and Portland did it on a huge scale, surely Ashland can do it on a small scale. So I think it's an exciting opportunity to bring everyone together.
Okay.
I just want to underscore that is age-friendly, not just seniors. We're talking the
yeah.
whole age range.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. How about some of the commissioners? I think, Mike, you spoke up, but are there things you're looking for? I want to ask you, Michael, Mike, and Jim.
As a lot of people out here know, it's been a long, arduous, controversial set of meetings in the last few months, and I have to say I'm thrilled to get to this point. The input that we've had so far today is exactly what I hoped and dreamt for, and so I'm so excited about these meetings. So I guess I don't really have a lot of input on where are we going. I'm just going to be listening and taking it all in, and constructive criticism. There have been people who came and spoke at our meetings that actually had good constructive criticism, and that I see as valuable. There's some less valuable comments that were made, and Mary was touching on that point. And good informed questions are good, and hopefully this will generate a lot of the answers and where we're going to go. And so I'm really excited. Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you. I do want to say there was something listed earlier that will be one of our issues, and that is creating the public input process. So that's there.
I would like to follow up on what Jim is saying on constructive criticism and how, you know, I know people are listening, because the way this room is set up in terms of people being able to hear, and can you all hear? Have you all heard? Yes. And that was something we had a hard time in the Ott Peterson room, and I know that information, it was part of the REC meeting. So any way you can help us moving forward so that we can have the mic, as much as we don't always like a mic, but and people can hear and see, and thank you for this today.
More issues that you believe you'd like to address as a committee. This will sort of be the outline of at least a major push on your work. Okay?
There you go.
It's already on the charge, but I just want to get it on this list too. And
sure.
As you said, something about public input. We need to talk about the open house events and the survey.
Yeah. Just pass that.
I think we need to be sure that training comes up constantly about any people who work at the senior center and understand all the different groups of people that might be coming in. I mean, an example would be someone coming in, you know, and saying, well, I need a POLST form. And then you need a trained person who understands what a POLST is. Can't be downloaded, you know, it's on hot pink cardstock, things like that for ambulance drivers. So that's just a small example, but there are so many things down to understanding what's in all the filing cabinets, where is everything located, how do you close the building down and secure it and make sure no one's in the restrooms, things like, you know, so security of the senior center, cleanliness of the senior center.
Okay, that'll be among the subtopics. Good.
This is a question related to the facility, the senior center. If there are, it might be useful if there are any plans for Hunter Park that might affect the senior center, if Hunter Park's could be changed in any way, or if the pool's being expanded, or maybe that's not an issue, but I was just thinking in an environmental context.
Sorry, it's off the agenda, but he asked a question, I feel like I didn't answer it. And that is whether or not Hunter Park is being modified in a way that will affect the senior center, 1699 homes. And the answer to that is no. We have been looking at planning, or we're planning a pool. It's actually an expansion, but it does not interfere with the footprint of the senior center in any way.
Related to that, I remember once having a conversation that actually the thought was to expand the senior center. Is there any thought for that?
Always.
It didn't seem
then where are the children going to play in the school? I mean, this is really off the subject, but the seniors, it's a senior issue, because seniors and children have to be able to be in the school as well as being accomplished. And that's the kind of question.
If I could take 1 minute, it could maybe prevent some issues.
Sure. You have
so,
about 1 minute.
Okay, my 1 minute is the competition pool is 25 meters by 25 yards. The footprint of it is slightly expanded from what the pool is now, going to the south towards the senior center. The depth needs to be expanded. We are planning a kiddie pool portion to go with that. The it's hard to show the cover for the pool and the pool at the same time, but the outline of the cover is on every schematic that we do showing the pool, and it does not touch the senior center.
And so the city pool would accommodate seniors?
Absolutely. There should be a walking path from the senior center with its own service gate right into the pool building, so you don't have to go all the way around. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, those are the kind of questions we get about that facility.
Okay. Last one. And there's time for more in the future. This isn't it.
Yeah, I guess I'd be interested in us getting some information about other senior centers that are functioning in Oregon, or particularly in our size community.
Okay. Good. Good. Thank you. Okay. So, a good start with issues. Quite a few, and I say start because others will emerge. At some point we'll have to stop, you know, but we're not at that point now. And I think what I want to say about these, without having checked with Rachel or anyone else, is that perhaps Jackie and I can communicate about ordering these, maybe, and taking a look at them, and recasting them or framing them in ways that'll be helpful as we create the future agendas. And Marianne can be on that as well, Rachel. So that we know where we're going with this. Okay. As we think about what's next, what's needed to be next. Okay, so that said, next meeting date. As I mentioned to you, I'm looking for a calendar. There can be no meeting until maybe the first week of November, and maybe even the second, depending. So, the first question. This time of day is a good time of day for a lot of folks, but for some, it is not. So, I guess I want to ask, are there restrictions at the time of day? Is this the only time, or could we move it to mornings, say? No, not mornings for Marion. Okay? Could it be moved to something as early as 1:30? No.
Not 2 days, no. Just 2 days a week.
So I think Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is just time to house. So that leaves Mondays and Fridays at 3:15 or so.
And I could do 1 o'clock on Mondays or Fridays.
Okay, let's come back to that. What about 3:30 or 3:15 to 5:15 on Mondays? Any problems, committee people? Just as a generic, oops, yeah.
Oh, one Monday of a month, I am totally unavailable. So if it were...
When is that next one?
That's
nope.
The first Monday of every month.
Okay, this might work out.
And I'm also not available so that on that Monday, so that's November 6th, I believe, for
yeah,
first
but
Monday.
That's every month.
I know, I'm just saying that one, so if we could not do it on November 6th, if you...
Well, that would put us back to November 13th as the next
right.
meeting, unless we
The 13th would work. November 13th.
Yeah, that's just a long time.
I know.
Michael?
Mondays are great because it gives us, we're starting the week out, we can start getting results from the committee, I mean from us working through the rest of the week, we can get results for you. Fridays are difficult because most likely we're gonna put everything in a box and just look at it again on Monday. And just logistically, it's nice to be somewhere at the beginning of the week rather than at the end.
So, the next... So what about the next meeting as Monday, November 13th? It sort of
yes.
Takes it out the way, but it's pretty late.
Sure.
Okay.
What about the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
We have not good meeting, but... As fast,
I have that goal. 13?
Could it be earlier in the day rather than the end of the day?
Could it be earlier in the day on that trip, on the 13th?
Yes. It'd have to be way earlier for me.
Oh, it'd have to be way earlier
in the day? In the morning.
In
before,
the morning?
Before noon, yeah.
Oh, I was trying to speak incorrectly. So, Mary, you cannot make it this morning.
No. I'm going to be out of town.
Yeah, I thought this would start happening. We'll be sure
to
quick
the date.
Resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to list the people for our next meeting. So I think maybe I'm hearing Monday works for most people. Laura?
Most Mondays work for me.
Yeah. What about... The afternoon of the 6th, you cannot do that.
I cannot do that.
You cannot do that. And Laura cannot do that. So I think we're going to start looking at the 13th.
I can do it.
So, Mary, is your restriction on Monday, that Monday, for all Mondays? That is, on future Mondays, is 3:15 work for you?
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, so I think we're moving toward Mondays, 3:15, every other week. We're going to lose somebody, who do we just say?
The first
on
one.
On
just
first
the
one.
First Monday. Okay, if we're going to be meeting the first week of every month.
No.
Okay.
You're going to be meeting. We're going to meet probably the second and fourth Mondays of every month. 3:15, tentatively, unless it's working out horribly.
So we won't meet on Christmas Day, I bet.
Probably.
We've made progress in choosing a date, but the fourth Monday, I hate to throw this in right now, because we did make progress, but the fourth Monday might be an issue, because we have our meeting that day, and there's some other things going on. But maybe we could do the 13th.
Well, let's do the 13th and we'll continue to work on it.
Yeah.
And let's, Michael, you and I and Jackie agree that we'll try to get together on the future of Mondays, et cetera. Steph?
You wouldn't want to do a dutiful to see?
Susan loves
no.
I hate
you.
I hate it.
I hold my calendar for days and weeks while people who... are slow to respond, maybe we'll do a poll in the future, Steph.
Yeah.
Okay?
I guess it looks like I won't be able to be here in November with the date that you're joking.
It looks like you won't be.
I won't be able to be here during the month of November with the date you're joking.
November 13th. You can't come November 13th.
I'm going to be in teaching.
Yes, I hear you.
Ooh.
Oh, lucky you. Lucky you.
That's not a good reason.
Sorry. We're going to meet there. We'll meet there.
Okay. Thank you. So we're saying that the next meeting is Monday, the 13th, 3:30. 3:15. Sorry. Is it going to be here?
Can we get a thumbs up, thumbs down for this location?
So the senior center is available on that day, according to the council, their calendar right now. We could use the senior center. I have to check availability on
I'd be good on either one if we could have microphone and people need to hear. And it is kind of nice at the senior center since that's what we're talking about. So I like the idea of the senior center.
So can we say to be determined, and just the people who may want to talk to Jackie afterward about your concerns? Okay, so you'll have your input. So we're saying November 13th at 3:15, location to be determined, and then we'll go from there. This might not be, doesn't look like it's going to be very easy. Just hearing some people can't make it morning, some people can't make it most afternoons, and then there's vacations and all kinds of other things. So we're going to do it the best we can.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's going to be a while until we meet again. I was going to spend a few minutes for suggestions about what can be usefully done between now and the 13th. And this conversation doesn't have to end now either. Can start it. And then if you have input, I'm going to ask if it's okay to take it to you, Jack.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, but while we're together, what can be done between now and the 13th, Mary?
Microphone?
Oh. Forgot I was even using one.
I've talked to Rachel a little bit about this idea, and it addresses, I think, one or two of the issues that have come up on our list here. I'd like to get some information from people who are currently participants in the senior program. I know there's the goal to do a survey of the citizens of Ashland generally. I think that's a pretty large project and potentially expensive. What I'd like to do is just talk to the people who are currently doing classes through the senior program. So this would perhaps even be some classes at the Grove. I think there are a few senior classes at the Grove. Ask the teachers if they'd be willing to hand out questionnaires to their students. And also ask the teachers if they'd be willing to keep track of the attendance at their classes for, I don't know, a month, something like that. The questionnaire would be, I envision three questions. One of them is, what do you think is most important about the senior center? Next question is, what would you like to see added? And the third question, just looking at a marketing plan kind of thing as to how we communicate with seniors generally, would be how do you get information about issues and events? Is it online? Is it in the newspaper? Is it from friends? How do you get your information? So I think it would be a very simple questionnaire, easy to tabulate, and I'd be certainly willing to help with all of this.
Can I put you with Rachel on this?
Well, I've already talked to Rachel, so I'd just like to know what the committee thinks about getting this kind of information and trying to do it between now and the 13th.
Any objection to that?
It seems
Laura?
Like that would be a good start.
Yes.
Start, yes.
But additional future endeavors to gather information that would be able to be meeting the needs after we have some discussions with the group on what we're looking for. I'm just thinking that it's a good start.
I think so, too. And this committee will talk over how to access additional information,
mm-hmm.
what kind of information you want, how to get it, and from whom, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'll just speak one of the objections I have to my own ideas, and that is if you solicit people's input too many times, pretty soon they stop answering. So that's the only issue I have with doing this thing right now and then potentially coming back with a bigger questionnaire or something like that.
Well,
so think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll get together with
you. Anything else can happen in the next month or so? Steph and then Catherine and Jen. We only have a couple minutes. I really do want to end on time and keep to that as a norm. So let's keep.
What I would say is important that the people on this commission are ambassadors and trying to get the information out to the community because your group, I think, the people will believe. And so it's important that they get out and do that.
Good.
and you are part of the group.
I've been doing that.
He knows that. I'm just wondering when we might get the compilation of these ideas, because I think between now and when we might be thinking about it.
If Rachel's previous promptness is any guide, we'll get a pretty darn soon.
Well, as well as the document from...
I just want to make sure I have everybody's emails and can send the toolkit, or maybe
right.
Susan or some can send the toolkit.
So I will have it on my list to send out an email list to everyone, but I think we need to clarify. Like, I just want to make sure people aren't communicating.
Yeah.
That wasn't what was agreed to. What was agreed to only so far is that no one objected to you sending them that report.
Right.
And beyond that, we ought to talk about that next time.
Yeah, That's all I wanted to say.
So you want to email out the marketing?
Yeah.
John, I just have to say one thing.
Correct.
Rachel brings up a good housekeeping point. This is an official committee, and we shouldn't be meeting in groups larger than a few and discussing matters that are to be discussed at this committee. Just because you are official, and decisions and deliberations need to take place in this.
It would be helpful to have, like, the minutes, just to kind of think about on our own.
I didn't mean to say that Rachel wasn't going to send you those things.
No, I know. I'm just adding, in addition to the toolkit.
I just need to clarify, the minutes are pretty much going to be action minutes, so they're not going to be very detailed. So the way that you're going to get, if you want to listen to it, if you miss a meeting and you want the recording of it, I would be happy to provide it for you.
Last comment, and then we're going to call it this.
Any information from the list of things we put on the sheets, like the budget, those kind of demographics, things we could be studying between now and the next meeting, I'd appreciate that so I could just be processing the data.
So do you want to turn that decision about what ought to maybe be identified over to Michael and Rachel?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, that's a good suggestion.
I know you called
less.
Call
I know.
I'll be quiet.
No, just concise. I really want to end this meeting on time.
Concise, you inquired what we could do before our next meeting.
Yeah.
And if we're not going to be doing this basic kind of little pre-survey, if that goes to the side, people in the community are going to know that we're on this committee. We can be, as mentioned before, ambassadors, and we can be listening, and we can be informally gathering content that's reflected.
Yes, absolutely.
Was that concise enough?
Yes.
To be part of
was that concise
that
enough?
That was pretty concise.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.